Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, three Georgia school systems are suspected of mishandling accusations of sexual misconduct by teachers. A college baseball player has been released from ICE custody. And it's the 50th anniversary of a landmark death penalty ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court.
We failed as a country to make the death penalty something that is handed out in a sort of equitable way when it comes to race, by which I mean black people are still overrepresented on death row, significantly overrepresented.
Today is Thursday, July 16th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. The Trump administration has launched an investigation into three Georgia school systems suspected of mishandling accusations of sexual misconduct by teachers. The U.S. Department of Education announced the crackdown last week. It focuses on what administration officials call a disturbing pattern of credible reports of sexual abuse going uninvestigated. Savannah Chatham, Richmond, and DeKalb County schools are among 20 districts coming under federal scrutiny. A Savannah State University baseball player detained by immigration officials 2 weeks ago has been released from ICE custody in New York. University President Jermaine Wuerl says Johan Sandoval was reunited with his family Wednesday.
I want to thank each of you that have called, sent letters, reached out, communicated, advocated via social media, in writing, and in person on behalf of our Tiger. We know he's going to get back home. He's going to be reunited. And again, he's going to have the ability to finish his studies right here at East Savannah State University.
The 22-year-old's attorney said an administrative error in his transfer from Bryant and Stratton College to Savannah State left a federal database incorrectly showing he was no longer a student. The U.S. House passed a bill this week that could make daylight savings time permanent. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on how that could impact Georgia.
If the federal government allows it, Georgia will switch to daylight saving time, which we are currently in, permanently. That's thanks to a trigger law passed in 2021 and signed by Governor Brian Kemp. Senator Ben Watson, who is also a doctor, sponsored the bill.
It is well documented that there is an increase of heart attacks and strokes with the time change back and forth, not to mention the havoc that it wreaks on our sleep, and just people don't like the change.
Critics of a permanent move to daylight saving time say standard time better aligns with our natural circadian rhythm. Watson says despite this, many people prefer the extra sunlight in the evenings. The federal bill still needs to clear the Senate, and President Donald Trump has indicated that he supports the cause. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
The Georgia U.S. Senate race between incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator John Ossoff and U.S. Representative Mike Collins is proving to be an expensive one, as both released fundraising numbers yesterday. Ossoff says his campaign has raised $20 million from April through June, ending the period with $42 million on hand. Collins says he's raised a little over $2 million in the same period. This month marks the 50th anniversary of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court case Gregg versus Georgia. The ruling upheld the state's death penalty law, ending a 4-year national ban on capital punishment and ushering in the modern era of state-sanctioned execution in the U.S. For the anniversary, faith leaders, including the Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta, held programs spotlighting the death penalty's impact, and a nonprofit news organization focused on criminal justice issues released a new set of data highlighting what it calls a broken system. Maurice Shema is a staff writer for the news outlet The Marshall Project.
We failed as a country to make the death penalty something that is handed out in a sort of equitable way when it comes to race, by which I mean black people are still overrepresented on death row, significantly overrepresented.
He says only about 20% of the 9,000 or so death sentences handed out in the U.S. since 1975 have been carried out, in large part because of various problems with the cases. Project data shows Georgia has executed 77 people since the ruling, and that about an equal number of death sentences were given to black and white offenders. The Gregg case involved a 1973 murder in Metro Atlanta's Gwinnett County and the court's attempt to make capital punishment less arbitrary and less racially discriminatory. Georgia researchers are hoping to learn more about the financial well-being of the state's farmers who drive Georgia's largest economic sector. GPB's Sophie Gratis reports.
The Farm Profitability Survey from UGA's School of Public Health, the Georgia Farm Bureau, and the Georgia Farm Foundation includes questions about operating margins, cash flow, and debt, among others, because Georgia farmers have reported financial stress as a top concern, says researcher Stephanie Basie, who's done previous farmer well-being studies. Input costs for crops and commodities have risen sharply, and with the vast majority, over 80% of Georgia farms run by individuals and families, one question Basie has is,
if farms are struggling right now, do farmers even want to pass their farms off to their families? Is family farming in Georgia sustainable?
Farmers and producers statewide have until July 31st to take the online anonymous survey. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
There are 26 places in the U.S. so precious that the United Nations lists them as their UNESCO World Heritage Sites. As GPB's Julian Magtoto reports, Georgia's Okefenokee Swamp soon might join the list.
Boating on a water trail into the Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge is like going back in time.
Not going to have cell phone service. You don't even see the glow of the city.
Josh Howard was raised in nearby Charlton County, one of four Georgia and Florida counties where the refuge sits. It's peaceful here, and he likes it that way.
It's just a really dark, quiet spot. You're not going to hear trains or cars.
Just our boat, which causes alligators to slink away and frightens a green heron.
When they get nervous, a green mohawk comes up on the top of their head.
Though the swamp doesn't go completely quiet.
The swamp has its own music that it plays going to bed and when you're waking up. You may hear wild turkeys in the mornings. Then at night, you got barred owls and pig frogs.
After we cut the engine about 2 miles in, we're gliding on dark water, reflecting pine trees like black glass.
The canal we're on right now is the Suwannee Canal. Yeah, there's a turtle there.
Cue the swamp music. This is the sound of a swamp so big, it doubles all five boroughs of New York. It's the largest subtropical freshwater wetland left in the entire Northern Hemisphere.
This is almost exactly how it was hundreds of years ago.
Hunter Barber's family has been here for seven generations. He works for Okefenokee Swamp Park, which offers tours on boats like this one. The park sees about 500,000 visitors each year, but Barber says business has been slower.
Had folks from all different nationalities come out. When COVID hit, that's never really bounced back.
But that could soon be changing. Later this month, a United Nations committee will likely convene to officially inscribe the swamp as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, alongside Yosemite, Yellowstone, and the ruins at Pompeii.
Through this designation, it's our opportunity to share why it's so special to us and tell our story.
The decision would mark the end of a process that began in 1982.
So what is that, 44 years ago? So a long time, a very long journey for the refuge.
Okefenokee Swamp Park Executive Director Kim Bednarik says it was recent efforts from her organization that helped raise $800,000 to put together a team of scientists and application for the nomination to go forward.
That money is 100% dedicated to ensuring the inscription is successful.
And that money, she says, is largely to bring more people to the site.
Doubling of visitation over the next 5 to 10 years is what we expect to see.
A new Okefenokee Development Authority formed last year across three towns where you can enter the swamp. Waycross Tourism Manager Patrick Simmons says a few new hotels and a handful of chain restaurants are already popping up.
The year before last, we had a Fairfield Inns open. Got two new Wawas in town, which is, you know, pretty significant. I got to feel like some of that is driven by the designation.
But UNESCO Vice Chair and Director of Culture Mike Robinson says that the development has to be balanced against the real purpose of the designation.
But, you know, the bottom line of the World Heritage Convention is it's not about attracting tourists. It's about protecting the heritage.
My swamp guide and Okefenokee local Josh Howard doesn't think this will be an issue.
I don't think we're going to be an Orlando or anything.
But he does want to see more people. And he says if the UNESCO listing gets more people to see this quiet, dark, last-of-its-kind, watery corner of the world, that's good. For GBB News, I'm Jillian Magtoto in South Georgia.
Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport remains the world's busiest airport for passenger traffic. New rankings from Airports Council International show more than 106 million passengers traveled through ATL in 2025, keeping it in the top spot globally. Dubai International Airport ranked second, followed by Tokyo's Haneda Airport. Chicago O'Hare topped Atlanta for aircraft movements. That records the number of takeoffs and landings. Chicago had the most number of aircraft movements anywhere in the world. And finally today, the Columbus Civic Center is looking for online influencers to attend events for free in exchange for positive exposure on social media. An online application closing tomorrow seeks influencers with at least 5,000 followers. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. We'd like you to hit subscribe on this podcast. That helps you to keep us current in your feed. And send us feedback. We welcome story ideas and suggestions at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. I'll be with you again tomorrow for another edition of Georgia Today.